This is Ann Arbor Stories. I'm Rich Ray. It was a hot June day, 1988, inside the ground floor manager's office inside the 105-year-old Embassy Hotel. The hotel manager, his wife, and their two children knelt on the carpeted floor and one by one pressed their foreheads to the feet of the man sitting in the manager's chair. This man was dressed all in white, a flowing robe and a crisp turban. His eyebrows were thick, his eyes dark, and his beard full. This was His Holiness, Baba Hardev Singh Ji, considered by the millions of followers of Sant Nirankari to be God's prophet. His Holiness had come at the behest of the hotel manager, who was having a spiritual and life crisis. The hotel manager begged His Holiness to visit, and here he was. His Holiness toured the building, visited some of the unoccupied rooms, and then blessed the Embassy Hotel, telling the manager that this was where he needed to be to complete his life's mission. If you haven't seen the Embassy, I can tell you it's no special wonder. Wrapped in dull gray siding, the signs on it are old, and its clientele wouldn't be welcomed with open arms at too many other establishments in Ann Arbor. What made the Embassy worthy of such a visit from His Holiness? The building that houses the Embassy Hotel is visible on a map of Ann Arbor from 1853, located at 200 East Huron Street, right on the corner of South 4th Avenue. You can see the Slauson & Gear grocery store on the ground floor. The second and third floor served as apartments back then. In 1910, the building was sold to a man named Caspar Rinzi, who changed the name of the grocery store, but little else. 2 years later, Rinzi turned the top two floors of the apartments into hotel rooms, opening the Central Hotel. It didn't go so well. The hotel closed 12 months later, and the rooms were leased as apartments again, while a number of businesses rented space throughout the early 1900s. In 1928, right before the Great Depression, Greek immigrants Charles and Peter Kokalis rented the building from the Rinzis and once again tried the hotel concept, opening the 21-room Huron Hotel. They converted the ground floor businesses into a restaurant, and then at the end of Prohibition, served alcohol as well, and called it the Huron Hotel and Cafe. The hotel and bar started out as a classy Ann Arbor destination, doing decent business despite the tough economic times. But as the Great Depression went on and on and on, fewer guests came to town, room rates had to be lowered, and a very different clientele showed up. The Depression hit Ann Arbor hard in the 1930s. The Kokalis family lost their home and were forced to move into a room on the second floor of the hotel to keep their heads above water. The whole family started working at the hotel to cut costs, cooking in the kitchen, serving in the bar, cleaning rooms, and splitting 24-hour shifts at the front desk. They never despaired. Kokalis family stayed upbeat, welcoming their rooming guests with open arms and offering a room or a bite to eat for those who were the most down on their luck. The hotel was colloquially known as Charlie's Place, after the family scion Charles Kokalis. If you were passing through Ann Arbor and needed help, Charlie's Place was where you went. The family made it through the Depression and the war, but the Huron was never the same. The Kokalis family shuttered the business in 1951. The Compass Hotel Company leased the building and renamed the hotel the Embassy, trying to class the place up again. They paid to cover the battered brick exterior with fancy at the time vertical Kaiser aluminum siding and turned the restaurant and bar into offices. The attempt to bring the corner back to its pre-Depression splendor never took. The hotel mainly housed itinerant workers and lower-class folks passing through. Later, it would put a roof over the head of a number of Ann Arbor's homeless population, becoming one of the few places in town to accept shelter vouchers. Partway through the Compass lease in 1957, the Rinzi family sold the building to real estate speculators Wendell and Ruth Hobbs. The Hobbses had plans to redevelop the property. That side of town was already heavy with hotels. The Allenell Hotel was directly across the street, and the St. James was a block over at Huron and Main. But as the other hotels were leveled and replaced, the Embassy remained untouched. The Embassy ran as usual on the top two floors, while ground floor offices were rented out to a number of tenants, including Congressman Marvin Esch. When Esch closed his office in the late 70s, the embassy expanded to the ground floor to ease its chronic overbooking problem, adding 4 extra guest rooms, a new office, and a larger apartment for the hotel manager. But what about His Holiness? When will we get back to His Holiness? Now sounds good. The Embassy Hotel was smack dab in the heart of Ann Arbor's red light district in the 1970s, and a popular hourly retreat for the prostitutes who plied their trade right on the street next to 4th Avenue's adult bookstores and massage parlors. The business was available and the price was right for Dr. Ranjit Bajwa and his wife, Harlevleen, who leased the Embassy Hotel around 1974, along with one of Dr. Bajwa's colleagues at Eastern Michigan University. The couple also opened an Indian restaurant called Rajarani in 1976, located at 400 South Division. Harlevleen's sister, Meena, was back in India, living with her newly married husband, Gobind Singh. The families were both well-to-do and could have had a nice life in India, but Meena chafed at the traditional female roles imposed on her and craved the freedom her sister talked about in the United States. Meena begged Gobind to visit America, so in 1974, they flew into New York City and made their way to Ann Arbor, staying with Meena's sister. They underestimated the cost of traveling throughout the United States, so Meena and Gobind spent most of their time eating American food, taking long walks, and watching TV. They also applied for green cards, planning to put down roots in this new country. With trusted family in Ann Arbor looking for work, it made sense for Gobind and Meena to run the embassy full-time for the Bajwas. The couple earned a combined $500 a month, plus commissions on each room they rented. The Singhs eventually moved their son to America to join them, and then moved the whole family into room 204 at the embassy, eventually taking over room 104 on the main level after the renovations in 1977. Gobind took English as a second language and business classes at the University of Michigan and Washtenaw Community College, using his time on campus to tack up posters advertising the embassy. While on campus at U of M, he walked up the hill to the hospital to tell staffers to recommend the embassy to families of loved ones spending long stretches in the hospital. The Singhs saved as much as they could, subsisting on cheap pizza and takeout and spending most nights in, too tired and busy for much of a social life. It paid off. In 1981, Gobind and Meena bought the Bajwas out of the business outright, and in 1987, they bought the whole building. It was still a place for Ann Arbor's struggling class, filled with folks staying indefinitely. Simple rooms, a TV, phone, bed, desk, and a chair. Shared showers and bathrooms. AC units in some rooms. For others, you needed to bring your own fan. The walls were thin, and you could hear voices, strange noises, and TVs most hours of the day. These were trying times for the Singhs, who worked constantly to keep everything running smoothly, while raising 2 young kids in a town that was a lot rougher than modern-day Ann Arbor. Gobind turned to religion to see him through, and begged His Holiness for advice. In 1988, His Holiness did him one better and paid a visit to Ann Arbor. It wasn't as much of a prayer as it might seem for the leader of a spiritual movement followed by millions to bless Ann Arbor's second cheapest hotel, next to a room at the YMCA. Singh had connections. His father was a revered preacher in India, considered a spiritual second in command to His Holiness. During His Holiness's world tour, he, his wife, and their bodyguards paid a visit to the embassy. And they had a lovely time. The Singhs ran a tight ship through the 90s and into the new millennium. Visitors were rarely allowed in their rooms, and those who were permitted to pop in got 5 or 10 minutes before they were asked to leave. Doors to each room had to remain closed, and kids weren't allowed to play in the hallways. Gobind frequently patrolled the halls, citing infractions and threatening to kick people out if they couldn't stick to the rules. Everyone had to prepay for that night by 11 a.m. or risk being tossed on the street. One short-term resident likened it to living in jail. But it's a lot better than the street. The Singhs still run the embassy, with their son, Gurvinder, working locally in the hotel business as well. They put in 70-hour weeks and have stuck it through the good and the bad, allowing the embassy to continue its mission since the 30s. To be a place where the less than fortunate can come in out of the cold and rain, can have a bed to call their own, can afford to live in this town that's not so affordable. And it doesn't hurt that the building might be the only one in Ann Arbor blessed by God's own prophet. Ann Arbor Stories is presented by Rumble Pack Media in partnership with the Ann Arbor District Library. This episode was written and read by me, Rich Reddy, with recording and sound production by Brian Peters. The story of the Embassy Hotel has been my personal white whale Ann Arbor story for the last 5 years. Other than an amazing and indispensable Ann Arbor Observer article written by Amy Walsh in 1990, not a lot of information exists, other than a few fires and some city fights over homeless vouchers. So thanks to Amy Walsh, as well as Grace Shackman, Debbie Gallagher, and Winston Stevens, who all emailed me about the embassy years and years ago, helping fill in the blanks. Thanks also to Gurv Singh, the son of Gobind and Meena, for filling me in on some of the modern-day history of the embassy. Thanks, as always, to the Ann Arbor District Library Archive staff for everything they do. You can check out photos of what the embassy looked like way back in the 1800s, as well as after the big 1951 renovation, or just go down a history hole any time of day. Go to oldnews.aadl.org. Please follow Ann Arbor Stories on Twitter and Instagram at Ann Arbor Stories, or email your thoughts and story ideas to annarborstories@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.